I think it is a real joy, privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We are thankful for the Lord's precious love. We appreciate His infinite wisdom, His understanding, His mercy, His tenderness toward us, and then, of course, the saving a sorry, good-for-nothing sinner such as myself. I realize that I'm not worthy, never have been worthy, but I've been made worthy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is worthy. There's not but one that's worthy. Of course, in the book of Revelation, it talked about that when John wept much, when nobody was able to approach God Almighty and take the book out of the Father's hand, but a lamb that was found worthy, slain from the foundation of the world, and that's the Lord Jesus. And the only way to be made worthy to get to heaven is through His worthiness, through the blood that He shed, the price that He paid, the offering that He made up at Calvary to take our place and to die the death of a sinner. Yet He knew no sin, but He became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if you're going to spend forever with the Lord in heaven and go to heaven when you leave this world, you'll have to experience the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. Now, that's a necessity. That's something, beloved, it must take place in your heart, in your life. He's got to transform you and change you and forgive you of all your sin. But before He can do that, He'll never force you. He'll invite you, He'll speak to you, He'll deal with you. He'll encourage you to come and deal with you through the preaching of His Word. But if you reject the Word of God, you've got no hope of getting to heaven. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And, beloved, real saving grace, Bible belief, faith, real faith, and then unfinished faith, beloved, comes by the preaching of the Word of God sent down from heaven and not through some puppet in the pulpit, some spiritual pimp who's a prostitute of Satan himself and selling himself to sin, a bunch of phonies, and God have mercy, they're wolves in sheep clothing, whose God is their belly in their back pocket, who glory in their own shame. And the woods are full of them, and so is the TV sets. I call them religious thieves, multimillionaire preachers. God have mercy, beloved, if you just listen, you've got real good common sense. You don't have to be a genius. Just have common sense. You realize these people are trying to pick over the dead. They came like a buzzard, and they're picking everything they can out of these dead people. I mean by dead people, it's not saved. They don't have an understanding. They're dead and trespassing sin. And there they are, religious thieves, beloved, just inducing them, enticing them, and speaking flattering words, and using the Scripture, twisting the Scriptures, wrestling with the Scriptures, beloved, and they're just polished up professional religious thieves, beloved. They're transformed themselves as a minister of righteousness. They're not a thing in the world but a tool, beloved, of the devil. They're blinded by the god of this world, and they're lovers of their own selves. They're proud and boasters and blasphemers. They blaspheme the really holy name of Jesus, and they make mockery out of the Word of God. But I'm glad the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His, and that every man that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And God have mercy on this poor, pitiful, pathetic, lost religious world. Beloved, there's not but one way from earth to heaven. It makes no difference what you and I think about it. If it's not according to the Word of God, beloved, it's a falsehood. This Bible that I preach from, this King James Version, beloved, is God-breathed, God-inspired. And you don't have to believe that. That'll be between you and God. But it's so, whether you believe it or not, it's not going to be changed. God ordained this and put this Bible together, and He inspired holy men of old that spake as they was moved by the Holy Ghost and put in their hearts and in their minds what He wanted printed for you and I today. And of course, it's been translated, not changed, beloved, but translated out of the original tongues and put into the English language, of which we've got something precious, beloved, this blessed Bible. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God does divide the Son, the Soul, the Spirit, the only man to give discernment, the very seeking intent and thought of your heart. You cannot and will not, beloved, know yourself, that the Word of God really lets you see yourself. The Bible said that the Word of God is like a mirror, like a looking piece. When we look into that mirror, behold what manner of person we are. But when we don't do something about correcting the error of our ways, when we get away from that, then after a while, we forget what manner of person we were. We forget what kind of condition and shape that we're in. Then we get further into confusion, in a state of confusion. The Bible said that God's not the author of confusion, but is a peace in all churches. Confusion of the devil. And when you don't pay any attention, you don't take heed to the Word of God. When God speaks to you, then here comes the devil trying to take away the seed that was sown, beloved, where it has an opportunity to fall on the good ground of your heart. He desires to take it away from you, steal it away, and cause you to go on in confusion and ignorance and wind up dying in your sins and going to hell. But you don't have to. Jesus died in your place. He that knew no sin, thank God, became sin for you and I. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you want to be made righteous If you want to be found worthy before God Almighty, you'll have to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible said that our righteousness, according to the flesh, is as filthy rag in the sight of God Almighty, and there's none worthy, beloved, there's none worthy. Not a person in this world has been found worthy before God Almighty except this Lamb that God talked about in the book of Revelation. This Lamb, of course, is sacrificial Lamb slain before the foundation of the world is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet, He's altogether lovely. There's no blemish in Him. Beloved, He's altogether lovely. He's beautiful to behold. He's precious to the soul. He's the Savior of all mankind. And beloved, He died the death of a sinner, yet He knew no sin, but He became sin. You and I, we might be made the righteousness or become righteous, beloved, because of Him. He alone is found worthy. Our righteousness is a filthy rag in the sight of God Almighty, beloved, and there's none righteous. There's not a just man, beloved, upon all the face of the earth. If you get to heaven, you'll have to be justified, beloved. You'll have to be justified. You'll have to stand just before God. And the only way to be just, beloved, is to have your sins forgiven. He would deliver for offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, to be justified, beloved, means that everything in your past, everything you committed, beloved, be guilty before God, be found guilty before God, have all that to be justified means to have it covered by His blood, your sin placed under His blood. The Bible said that our sins is as far as the east is from the west. So has the Lord removed our transgression or our sins from us. Yes, sir. He put them in His sea of forgiveness, never brought to His remembrance anymore. That's what forgiveness of sin is all about. Everything I ever done to that boy I got saved, thank God, is no longer remembered in the sight of God Almighty. He's put it away. He's covered that, beloved, with the atoning blood. The Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness for sin. If you try to come up any other way, you'll be the same as a thief and a robber, and you'll be cast out in that day. You better not be found guilty before God, beloved, without a blood atonement, without the sacrifice that I'm talking about. God is highly pleased with Him. God has gave Him, that is Jesus, a name above every name, and there is another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, there's cults and there's all types of religion that kick against this blessed name. I know there's a lot of people that don't believe that He's the Son of God. Out of this cults and there's different types of denomination, beloved, that said they don't believe that He's the Messiah. That's not going to change a thing. God has highly exalted Him, and God has raised Him from the dead. How many got up from the dead on the third morning, Sunday morning, early that morning, the first day of the week, He got up from the dead. Thank God, a bodily resurrection. He didn't suffer His Holy One to see corruption or let His soul in hell, but He got up from the dead. Got up from the grave, He arose. He arose a victor over the dark domain. Thank God, He lives forever, and He reigns. He's a reigning and a ruling Christ. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Beloved, He's at the order of Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, that's earthly father, mother, beloved. Without that, He's at the order of Melchizedek and has an eternal or everlasting priesthood. Thank God. I'm glad He's a great mediator between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. Beloved, He is the only name, beloved, that has the power to save man from his sins. He took our place. He became our substitute. He paid the price for us. His love compelled Him, beloved, to leave the heaven, put the portals of heaven glory, come down to the sin-cursed world, beloved, and give Himself as a slaughtered lamb, as a suffering servant, as a sacrifice, beloved, for the sin of the world. Yet He knew no sin, but He became sin. Thank God for you and I. We might be made the righteousness God in Him. If you try to get to heaven and you're found guilty before God in sin, not being justified, beloved, you're going to wind up dying in your sin and being alienated, eternally alienated, separated from God Almighty, and you'll wind up burning in the place of eternal torment and damnation where the fire will never go out, where the worm will never die, and the smoke of the torment of a second death will ascend up heaven ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. God help you. You don't have to die in your sin. Jesus died in your place. His love compelled Him to leave the portals of heaven glory, come down to the sin-cursed world, be born of the lowest, the meekest of all births, beloved, in a cattle trough where they feed the cattle in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, beloved, in a little barn. They're in a place where the animals lay. There was no room for Him in the inn. He was raised up as a carpenter's son. He was the world's greatest master builder, the world's greatest carpenter. He never did anything that wasn't perfect. He did not do anything that, beloved, it was left short of perfect. He was perfect. He is perfect. That's what made Him, beloved, the atonement and the sacrificial death that he gave at Calvary. That's why his death and his blood was a supreme sacrifice, and God was highly pleased with it and accepted the death, the burial, the resurrection of his son. And that's why the veil back in Jerusalem rent from top to bottom, above it made the way in the holiest of holies, where only the high priest worked one time every year, not without blood, first for his own sins and then for the sin of the people. Jesus only had to enter in one time through the veil, but he didn't have to bring no offering for his own sin because he didn't have sin. He entered in once inside the veil. Yes, sir? He had there and appeared in the presence of God for us, thank God, and broke down that middle wall of fission that was between us, thank God, Jew and Gentile, and nailed them to this cross. Hallelujah this afternoon for the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher, thank God, of my faith. I'm not much of anything, and I know I'm just a wretched, vile sinner saved by grace. Now, I don't mean that I'm still condemned to the sinner's side of God. I've been sanctified, and of course, I'm saved, and I'm one of his, and I'm just one of his saints, and I'm not much of anything, but I'm his because he's forgave me all my sin, beloved, but at my very best, my flesh is still full of holes. There dwelleth, Paul said, no good thing in me that is in my flesh. Our flesh is depraved and wretched and vile, but on the inside of me, thank God, there's a new nature, there's a divine nature, there's God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what I delight in, the inner of man. I don't have any confidence in this rotten, stinking flesh, beloved. My flesh is undone, my flesh is wretched, I'm still tempted on every hand, so is every human being that ever got in human flesh. Suffers temptation from the very beginning all the way up to now. Even the Lord Jesus himself was tempted all points as we are, thank God, yet he is without sin. That's why he is the Son of God. That's why he's not just a prophet, he's the prophet, the one that all the prophets prophesied that would come, and Moses spake of him. He said, a prophet of the Lord God raised from the grave, I can mean him shall he hear in all things. He's the one, beloved, the prophet of all prophets, the Son of God. Yes, the one that the prophets prophesying about. Yes, sir, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He is the Savior of all mankind. If you pass by him, you have the privilege to do that, but if you do that, you'll be eternally, beloved, you'll be eternally and forever sorrowful, beloved, and suffering in a place of eternal torment and damnation where the fire is never going to go out, where the worm is never going to die, the smoke of the torment of the second death will ascend that river and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. God help you. I don't want you to die in sin, beloved. I want you to think about it. Don't listen to your head. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart speaking. Your heart's convicted. Your conscience is convicted. And you're condemned. Listen to your heart, and God will liberate you from your sins. He won't make you, but he'll invite you, so you need to come when he bids you come, so you can get in before it's too late. See my time gone up. God bless you. Write to us. Pray for us, and God bless you. And I pray in his name. Amen.